Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my people. Good afternoon to my audience again. I would like to greet the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob today. I give him the glory and honor today again for being here with you on this divine platform. I thank the God of Israel for all that he have done for me this week and all of my life. I truly give him the glory and honor and praise, the Holy Spirit. I thank her, the mother. I thank the Heavenly Host, the Son of God, and the Holy Angels. I am here again, people. I am here again to pick it up where we left off at. We are continuing to establish that the law of the God of Israel, his name is Ahiah, that the law of the God of Israel is good, and we must establish it in the earth. We almost done. We got less than 200 laws left. A little bit over or less than 200 laws, and I will be all done with what the God of Israel told me to do almost now, about 3 months ago. So I just thank the God of Israel and the Holy Spirit that they're giving me strength to do what I need to do for them. It's not about me. It's about the God of Israel, the Holy Spirit, and the remnant, the 10% that will make it out of the New World Order. So we're going to pick it up right where we left off. We got to have quite a bit to cover today. God's law. God's law versus the law of the land. 613 laws in the Bible. The sacrifice. Audio number 25. We started at audio number 1. We all the way to audio number 25. Wow. I've been really working for the God of Israel. All the glory go to you, Father. All the praise and honor to your holy name. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. I am your host, Elisheba. Guest call in number 661-244-9831. Anybody would like to call in, feel free to do so. So we're going to get started. This is the third day of the week, Tuesday. We do our law classes on Tuesdays and on Saturdays. Tuesdays and Saturdays. The third day of the week and the seventh day of the week is when we do our law class. So we're going to pick it up right where we left off. We're going to pick it up at law number 459 today. 459. This part of the law, this section of the law, we'll be talking about sacrifices and offerings. Last week, we did to you tithing and offerings of the Hebrews. Matter of fact, let me give you the proper headline of that. No, it was the temple, the sanctuary, and sacred objects. We are all finished with that. Now we're going to pick it up at sacrifices and offering according to the Mishnah, the Torah, the Old Testament, under the covenant. What is sacrifices and what is offerings to the God of Israel? His name is Ahiah. We're going to pick it up right here at law number 459 for sacrifices and offerings. But before we do that, I need to read what sacrifices mean. In the dictionary, we're going to pull up the dictionary, and we're going to look up the word sacrifice so you can understand exactly what a sacrifice is, because we have the Christian church, we have the Hebrew Israelite church, we have the Muslim church and the Buddha church and all the church, the Moor churches, Egyptologist church, and all the churches and religions to you that a sacrifice can be you paying tithes to them and giving them money. And that's not what the God of Israel is talking about when he speak of a sacrifice and when he speak of an offering. He is not talking about money at all, at all. So we're going to read what the word sacrifice means first before we go into our law class. Let's get going, people. It says, sacrifice. Let me go back here. Give me 1 minute. It say, sacrifice, an act of slaughtering an animal or person, or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or to a divine or supernatural figure. Offer or kill as a religious sacrifice. Okay, so a sacrifice is an act. Is an act. It's something that you have to do. It's something that you have to do. Something that you have to use your hands to do, to give to God. Okay? An act of slaughtering it, say, an animal. That's exactly what the God of Israel wants all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That's what the Hebrews gave him. That's what the children of Israel gave him. When they sacrificed to him, they sacrificed animals. They sacrificed grain. They sacrificed fruits. They sacrificed olives and grapes. Okay, we're going to go through some of the scriptures in the Bible. We're going to go law by law so you'll understand exactly what the God of Israel is asking you for when he say, give him a sacrifice. That's what he told the children of Israel. Give him a, you cannot approach the God of Israel. I'm talking about the real God now. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about Yah. I'm not talking about Buddha. I'm not talking about none of them gods that the law of the land have set up under your religions. I'm not talking about none of those gods at all. None of them, because they're not real. So you don't have to give them anything. You don't have to give them anything because they're not real, okay? So that's what you people been doing. You've been giving all your tithes, which is money. That's the only sacrifice y'all give God, y'all say. Tithes, 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 which is money, which is money, okay? Which is money, okay? But the God of Israel, he don't want no money, and he never asks you for no money. So right there alone, that shows you people that y'all are serving the wrong God and a different God that the Bible speaks of. Because the God of the Bible, the God of the Hebrew scrolls, the God of the covenant tell you exactly what he wants when it comes to you giving him something or you sacrificing to him. He tell you exactly what he wants. There's no, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to try to figure out. He tell you exactly what he want you to give him, Hebrews. Okay? So we're going to talk about this today because we have to understand what a sacrifice is when it comes to the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrew nation, the God of the 12 tribes. It's the sacrifice that he wants. Okay? What he's asking, what he requires of you to give him. Not what you feel you need to give him. Not what you put all of them out. Please get out of here. Come on. Get out. Excuse me, people. Let me get rid of the dogs. Let's go. Could you lock the door, honey, please? put the dogs out, they interfering with me. Go on out of here, Queen. All of y'all, get out of here. You too. Go on out. With a dose. Go ahead. Get out. Lock the door, please. They'll come right back. Excuse me, people. I had to get rid of my chihuahuas. So give me 1 minute, people. So yeah, we have to discuss this because it's very important that we discuss this. Because we have to understand what the God of Israel, the real God, want us to give him. Okay? Want us to give him when it comes to his sacrifice and his offering. No, don't put them out. They're just going to cry. Don't put them out. They're going to cry. Oh, Queen is out there. Okay. So it said the word sacrifice, an act of slaughtering an animal or a person or surrender a possession as an offering to God or to a divine or supernatural figure. Okay. Now, this section of the law we will be teaching in the law class today about sacrifices and offerings. That's what we're going to be teaching you today, people. So let's look up the word offering. Let's look up the word offering right now. Offering, a thing offered especially as a gift or contribution, animals as a sacrificial offering. It don't say nothing about no money, okay? It says absolutely nothing about no money. When you read the word sacrifice, it's talking about an animal. It's talking about an animal, or you can sacrifice a human. You know, that's when you into Satanism. Satanism and witchcraft and all that kind of sorcery and all that black magic and all. They do all of that kind of stuff. But we ain't dealing with that today. We're dealing with the God of Israel. We're dealing with a holy God. We're dealing with the creator. So he don't want no people. He don't want nobody to sacrifice no people to him. Okay? He tell you exactly what he want. He want animals. He want fruit trees. He want grain. He want corn. He want wine. He want olive trees and all of that kind of good stuff. Okay? So it's a offering. A thing offered especially as a gift or contribution. A thing produced or manufactured to entertain or entertainment or sale. That's dealing with a contribution especially of money to a church. See, that's dealing with all the religious institutions called churches. See, the God of Israel, he's not into that. All of your churches, all of your organizations have been set up under the law of the land. That's why you got to go through the IRS and the government and all of that to get your license, to get your articles of incorporations and your EIN numbers and all of that stuff. Why? Because the law of the land, the governments that's in charge of this earth, in charge of this earth right now, you have to go through all of that. But see, we dealing with the sacrifice of the God of Israel. We dealing with the offering of the God of Israel, okay? I must identify to you people what is the difference between the law of the land and God's law, okay? So let's go. We're going to pick it up at law number 459. So a offering is a thing offered especially as a gift or contribution. It's a gift. That means you have to give it to the God of Israel because you want to give it to him or because he asked you or told you to give it to him. Law number 459, to sanctify the firstling of clean cattle and offer it up. Exodus 13:2. Let's get that. Exodus 13:2. Will be our first Bible verse for sacrifices and offerings. 13:2. Let's pick it up at verse 1 of Exodus 13. And the highest spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Okay? Ahiah spake unto Moses the prophet, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whosoever opened the womb among the children of Israel, both of men and of beasts, it is mine. It is mine. Okay, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they went into the wilderness. And that's when the God of Israel wrote the covenant for them. He wrote the covenant and he told them what they had to do, how they had to do it, and why they had to do it. And why they had to do it, okay? He wrote it all out plain and simple for them to follow. You have another one, huh? Wow. For them to follow, people. So, and Ahiah spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whosoever opened the womb among the children of Israel, both man and a beast, it is mine. So all the firstborn children, as long as your child is born in this world under wedlock, meaning that you have to be married. Honey, could you push that this way? The fan, just pull the whole chair over. Ooh, don't put it on the floor, baby. Yeah, that's good over there because I don't want it to interfere with my tape. So, Ahiah spake unto Moses, okay, telling him, okay, when the children of Israel was in the wilderness. Excuse me, people, give me a minute.
Hello? I'm on.
Uh-huh, go. Oh, my God. I call y'all back. I'm on the radio. I'm going to call y'all back. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh.
So this is what I'm saying, people. Let's go back into it. I'm sorry about that. I had a call. Okay, I'm reading Exodus 13, verse 1 and 2. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whosoever opened the womb. So all the males that are born in this earth belong to the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac. If they are born with a man and a woman being a husband and a wife, okay, he don't want no firstborn male child if you having that male child and you're not married to that woman. She's not your wife. She's not your wife. He don't want those children. Those children are him. To him, he called them bastard children. He called them bastards. They don't belong to him. You have to do it the way the God of Israel tell you. Just like Adam and Eve when they was in the garden, they was man and wife. They was man and wife. That's how the God of Israel wants you to do it. He wants you to have a wife. Okay? He don't want you going around here, bro, laying up with all kind of women and all of that, having all kind of baby, mama, and boo-boo them kids all over everywhere. He's not talking about those kids, okay? He's not talking about those. He's talking about when you have a child on the wedlock, the firstborn males, all of them belong to the God of Israel. And all the firstborn animals, okay, belong to the God of Israel. So when the children of Israel, our ancestors, was in their own land, they had all kind of animals. They had goats, ram, cows, lambs, all kind of animals they had. And all the firstborn animals belonged to the God of Israel. So it was stipulations up under the Torah, up under the covenant, what they had to do with those animals. They couldn't sell them and eat them and do what they wanted to do with them because they belonged to the God of Israel. That's up under the law. Okay? That's up under the law. Next law for the same law. I'm sorry. Next Bible verse for the same law. Law number 459. Deuteronomy 15:19. Let's go to that. Let's go to that. See, you don't know this God. You don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You don't know the God of Israel. And that's why I need to establish the law so I can teach you people about him and what he wants you to do and what he wants us to do and how. Because you don't know him. You don't know him. You haven't been taught him. You've been taught another God and a different law and a different God. Okay? You've been taught about the law of the land and all their religion that goes along with all of their gods that they have set up for you people to follow. But I am establishing the law for the God of Israel. His name is Ahiah. Deuteronomy 15:19. Let's get that, people. Very beautiful class that we're going to have today. Very, very beautiful, educational, knowledgeable class we're going to have today, people. Knowledge. Knowledge is good for your mind. Knowledge is good for your soul. Knowledge is good for your spirit. If you don't put nothing in your mind, if you don't use your mind, you will lose your mind. You must have knowledge. You must have wisdom. You must have understanding. This is the only way your mind can grow. This is the only way your mind can grow. And that's why everybody, I would say 90% of the people in the world, they all got locked, blocked minds. There's no growth in their mind. There's no elevation in their mind because they only focus on the things that they've been taught. They only focus on the things that they know, and they don't want to put nothing different there. So Deuteronomy 15, verse 19, for law number 459. 459, verse 19 of Deuteronomy 15. The law that we are reading right now is to sanctify the firstling of clean cattle and offer it up. It says, all the firstling males, okay, all the firstling males that come of the herd, and of the flock. So the flock would be the goats and the lambs, and the herds would be the cows and the rams, okay, and the ox. Those are herds. All the firstling male that come of the herd and of the flock, thou shalt sanctify. You have to set them apart for the God of Israel, just like all the first males that are born in this earth. They belong to the God of Israel. Okay, I cannot say my oldest son belonged to the God of Israel. You know why? And he's my first son because I had him out of wedlock. I was not married to his father. So no, the God of Israel don't want him. He don't want my son to be sanctified unto him. Because I had him out of wedlock. I had him up under fornication. So no. But all the firstborn males and the firstborn men that you have in this earth up under the law and up under the Torah belong to the God of Israel. You must be married. But right here in Deuteronomy 15:19, we are talking about animals. All the firstling males that come of the herd and of the flock, thou shalt sanctify unto the higher thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock. Okay, that's a bull. Bullock. You don't even see those kind of animals no more. They done got rid of all of them. If they was on this side of the world, I never saw a bullock. If I did, I was so little, I don't remember when I was living down south. Okay? A bullock is something like a cow. I'll say that. Thou shalt sanctify unto the higher thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. So all the first male bullocks, meaning cows, ox, bulls, rams, all the firstborn of those animals, you must sanctify to the God of Israel, meaning you must set them aside for him and him only. So you cannot do what you want to do with the firstling of those animals. They belong to him. Okay? You cannot, he said, you cannot do no work with them. You can't plow your field with them. You can't do none of that. You can't do none of that. You cannot use those animals to do nothing but what Ahio want you to do with them. Nor shear, I have dogs at my gate, excuse me, people. Nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. So all the sheep, all the firstborn male sheep, not the females. He only wants the males. He don't want the females. All the firstborn male sheep is sanctified. It means they set aside. They only for the use of the God of Israel. Meaning that when he asks you to make him a burnt offering, when he asks the children of Israel to make him a burnt offering, they had to use all the firstborn male of the herd and all the firstborn male of the flock to do the offering, the burnt offering, to do the sacrifice to the God of Israel. It had to be the firstborns. He didn't want no other secondborn, thirdborn. He didn't want none of them. He wants the firstborn male of the herd, which is the cattle and the rams and the bullocks and all that, the cows, and then he wants the first of the sheep. I mean, and the goats. They belong to him. The priest Aaron had to take them, put them on the altar, clean them up, put them on the altar, fix it the way the God of Israel told them to fix it, and sacrifice it to the God of Israel. All the firstborn. And then the firstborn of the sheep, you cannot even shear them. You cannot even cut their hair. You cannot even cut the firstborn of the sheep hair. Okay? Why? Because they belong to the God of Israel. They belong to the God of Israel. Whatever he told Aaron and his sons to do, that's what they had to do with all the firstborn of the animals. Okay? Next law. Law number 460. To slay the Paschal lamb. That means to slay the Passover lamb. Exodus 12:6. To slay the Passover lamb. Let's go to that. And it had to be a firstborn. It had to be a firstborn lamb. If you're going to give it to the God of Israel on Passover, it must be a firstborn. It must be a firstborn. Let's get that. Exodus 12:6. Exodus 12:6. And you should keep it up. Let's go. Let me see. Let me go to verse 5 here. Let's go to verse 5. Exodus 12:5. Your lamb should be without blemish. That's number one. That's number one. And that's why I say, you Hebrew Israelites, y'all people need to sit down and stop doing what y'all doing when it comes to holy days. Okay? Please, doing what you are doing. Because you are polluting the holy days. You on the wrong side of the earth. You in captivity. You in slavery. You in Egypt all over again. You cannot get a God of Israel nothing on this side of the earth. He don't want none of these animals and bulls and goats and sheep on this side of the earth. Because they, all of them are defiled. All of, you don't have your own animals. you must have your own animals, and you must be in Jerusalem. You must be in Jerusalem, our land, the land of our fathers, the land of our ancestors. You must be there. Okay, so you Hebrew Israelites that call yourself keeping the law, your lamb, Exodus 12:5. Call yourself keep your Passover and all of the holy days. Your lamb shall be without blemish. There's no need of you saying you keeping Passover and you got blemished, you got defiled meat that you're going to call yourself, because the God of Israel don't even receive it, number one, that you're going to call yourself giving it to the God of Israel. That's what you people doing, call yourselves, because he don't receive that. Your lamb should be without blemish, no defects, no defects, no chemicals. You cannot keep the lamb in a defiled place and try to give it to the God of Israel on Passover. Your lamb should be without blemish, a male. See that? A male. Now, this is a word of wisdom. This is a word of wisdom for you Hebrew Israelites. How do you know that on Passover, that you giving the God of Israel a male, when the lamb that you bought is already cut up, and you went in the grocery store and Sam Club or wherever you went and bought it, you don't know if it's a male or a female. So you people are committing paganism and an abomination. Your lamb should be without blemish, a male of the first year. How do you know it's a year old? You don't know that either. You should take it out from the sheep or out from the goat. So on Passover, children of Israel was in their own land. Okay? When the God of Israel laid down the law and the covenant to them, he told them exactly what he want for his sacrifice. It's not money, and it never be money. It's not money, okay? You'll never find nowhere in the Bible where the children of Israel gave the God of Israel some money for his sacrifice or for his offering. From Genesis to Revelation, you will not find it. So that's why I say, you people, y'all have another law and another God and another way and another order. Okay? So it must be 1 year old, without defects or without blemishes. It must be a perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice must be perfect to the God of Israel. That's why he told you that's why he told you over there in Exodus and Deuteronomy for law number 459 that you must sanctify it. You must separate that first male goat or that first male cow or sheep to the God of Israel. Separate them from all the other animals because they belong to the God of Israel for his sacrifice and for his burnt offering. Next law number 461. To eat the flesh of the Passover sacrifice on the night of the 15th of Exodus 12:8. Let's go to that same chapter 8 verse, people. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Okay, this is when the children of Israel was in Egypt. And the God of Israel was getting ready to bring them out of Egypt. from the house of bondage, from Pharaoh. Okay? They had to keep the Passover, and they had to take the blood of the lamb, or the goat, and put it on the doorpost of the house. Exodus 12, verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. Roast with fire. You cannot cook it in the oven. It had to be sanctified. So this shows you that the children of Israel, when they was in Egypt, they had their own animals. They had their own animals. Matter of fact, my daddy Jacob, or our father Jacob, when he left Canaan, all his household, I think it was about 70 of them, he took all his household and he moved to Egypt. He moved to Egypt. And he had animals, he had goats, he had everything, cows and everything. All of his animals went with him to Egypt. And they moved to Egypt. Okay? And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Okay? Next law. Law number 462. So it's a way. It is a way that the God of Israel tell you to prepare things for him. The way you got to prepare his sacrifice. The way you have to prepare his offering. You can't do it the way you want to do it. You got to do it the way he say to do it. You have to do it the way he say to do it. And if you don't want to do it that way, then guess what? You're not serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're serving your own selves. Law number 462. Not to eat the flesh of the Paschal lamb, raw or solid. Exodus 12, 9. Let's go to verse 9, same chapter, Exodus 12. But law number 462. Eat not of it raw nor solid. At all with water. You cannot soak it in no water overnight and all of that stuff like we've been taught by the law of the land how to do our meat. Just soak it overnight and let it marinate and all that stuff that Esau, the Edomites, and the Gentiles taught us to do. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with his pureness thereof. Pureness is the center, his belly, his stomach, whatever, his bowels. It's before his bowels. You had to roast the Passover lamb or goat. Okay? You had to roast his leg. You had to roast his head. You had to roast him whole. You couldn't cut him up in little pieces and all that stuff and put him on no barbecue grill like you Hebrew Israelites do. Paganism, people. Paganism. Next law. Law number 463. Not to leave any portion of the flesh of the Paschal sacrifice or the Passover sacrifice until the morning unconsumed. Exodus 12, 10. Let's go to 10 verse. Same chapter. So the God of Israel is telling you exactly how to prepare the Passover feast for him. The holy day. Passover. He's telling you exactly how to do the meat, how to prepare it, how to cook it, what you can't do with it, and what you can do. And guess what? You Hebrew Israelites is not falling that at all. So why do it? Why try to keep Passover or any holy day when you can't do it the way the God of Israel tells you to do it? Why even bother? There's no reason for you people to even bother to keep it when you can't keep it the way he wants you to keep it. What is that all about? What is that all about? What are you going to gain from that? What are you going to accomplish from that? Keeping the Passover and the holy days the way that you want to keep it and the way that the God of Israel told you not to keep it. There's absolutely nothing that you're going to gain from that but a curse. You're going to curse yourselves. And that's what you people have done. You Hebrew Israelites and y'all in the truth, and you Christians that don't even know nothing about keeping no holy days at all. Matter of fact, y'all say, we better keep Christmas, Mother's Day, and all of that. We don't know nothing about no holy days. We're not under the law. We're under grace. So both you sets of people have cursed yourselves. Hebrew Israelites trying to keep the holy days, defiling it. Christian church don't even believe in the holy days at all. Verse 10 of Exodus 12. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which will remain of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. You shall burn with fire. You must do it exactly the way the God of Israel want you to do it. You got to burn it with fire. If some left the next day, you cannot eat it because it is defiled. It's polluted because the God of Israel told you that you cannot leave none to the next day. Remember, it's a sacrifice to him. It's a sacrifice to him. So he have all the right to tell you what to do with it. Because it's for him. It's not for you. It's for him. Next law. Law number 464. Not to give the flesh of the Passover lamb to an Israelite who had became an apostate. Exodus 12:43. Let's go all the way down to the 43 verse. And the highest said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinances of the Passover. This is the ordinances, Aaron, of the Passover. The priest couldn't do nothing without the prophet. He had to have Moses. He had to have the prophet. Why? Because the God of Israel only speak to a prophet. Even though Aaron was a prophet, but Moses was the head prophet. Moses was the one that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob chose to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and tell them exactly what he wanted them to know. And the highest said unto Moses and Aaron, okay, he spoke to Aaron too. Like I say, Aaron can hear him too because he was a prophet. So sometimes he spoke to Aaron as well as he spoke to Moses. This is the ordinances of the Passover. There should no stranger eat thereof. Cannot no Gentile eat the Passover. For the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when it comes to the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. Can't no Gentile eat it. A stranger is a Gentile. And it say, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. So everybody that the children of Israel bought as a servant to help take care of them, to clean their house, help them with the animals, whatever they needed, if they bought him with money or her with money, but you must circumcise him. No one can eat the Passover unless they are circumcised. No one can eat the Passover. Anybody that's not circumcised, You won't be eating the Passover in the new kingdom. You won't be eating the Passover in the new kingdom. You must be circumcised. It's stipulations. It's stipulations. Even way back there with Noah, they had to be circumcised. Believe me, Noah knew the same thing that Abraham. Noah knew it before Abraham got it. He knew the law way before Abraham got it. Y'all think just because Abraham got it, he told Abraham to circumcise him and everybody in his house, Noah and Adam and all the rest of them didn't have to be circumcised. That's not true. That's not true. Remember, they took a lot of our Hebrew records. They, the law, the people that the rule this land, all your pharaohs and governments and all of them people, the Romans and the Greeks and the Babylonians and all them people, they took a lot of our Hebrew scrolls. So we don't have it. So if the children of Israel bought a servant with money and they have circumcised him, then he can eat the Passover. He can eat the Passover. But no stranger can eat the Passover with the children of Israel. So you Hebrew Israelites, y'all trying to keep the law, but you don't know how. Can't no Gentile sit nowhere with us and eat the Passover, because they not Israel and they ain't got no business sitting with us. And it say here, Exodus 12:45, a foreigner, tis a Gentile, and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. Shall not eat thereof. Okay? A Gentile can eat the Passover from what we read in here. But it is another law that the God of Israel made for the Gentiles. Because you had the Gentiles in the wilderness with the children of Israel. A lot of them left Egypt with the children of Israel. So the children of Israel had the Passover in the wilderness. Then the Gent had their way that they had to do it in the wilderness. But they had separate laws for the Passover. They didn't do it the way the children of Israel. They had to do it the way the God of Israel told them to do it. You're talking about two something burning. You're talking about two different people. Right. Next law. Law number 465. Not to give flesh on the Passover lamb to a stranger who live among you to eat. Exodus 12:45. I just read that. A Gentile cannot eat the Passover. They cannot eat it. Who live among you to eat. They had their own way they had to do it. But they couldn't eat with the children of Israel. Next law. Law number 466. Not to take any of the flesh. I read that. Next law. Law number 467. To break a bone of the Passover lamb. Exodus 12:46. Let's read that. I already read it. Let's read it again. And one house shall it be eaten. You can't eat it at Sue house and go to Billy house and Joe house. Take Joe a plate of a lamb. You know, take Connie a plate and take, you know how you black folks like to do. When y'all have y'all feasts and y'all big parties and all that. Y'all take food up out of each other's houses and take it to your mom and your sister and all them. And one house It didn't say no hall. It didn't say no event center. It say in a house. And one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad, out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. Next law. Law number 468. That the uncircumcised shall not eat of the flesh of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb. Most of the time on Passover, I believe that is the law under the covenant. It had to be a lamb, not a goat. 468 law. That the uncircumcised shall not eat the flesh of the Passover lamb. Exodus 12:48, people. Let's get that. Let's get that. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee to a higher, not Yah, not Most High, not YHWH, when a stranger sojourn with you, a Gentile, when a Gentile is living with you, children of Israel, and will keep the Passover to a higher, let all his males be circumcised. All the Gentiles that was living among the children of Israel in the wilderness, they had to be circumcised if they wanted to keep the Passover. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Let me get some water, people. So if you was not circumcised, you cannot eat the Passover. Point blank. Exodus 12:49. One law shall be unto him that is homeborn, talking about Israel, the 12 tribes, the Hebrew nation, and unto the stranger, the Gentiles, the Africans, the Chinese, the Europeans, unto the stranger that sojourn among you, the agents, unto the stranger that sojourn among you. Thus did all the children of Israel as Ahijah commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. I don't see no money here. You Christians and all you religious people that call yourself teacher, that a sacrifice is money, that a offering is money, and it's not. And it is not. That's what you was taught. That's what you was taught. You was taught that so you'll go against the God of Israel to serve another God. And another law, the law of the land. So law number 469. Not to slaughter the Passover lamb while there is leaven and the home. Not to slaughter the Passover lamb when there is leaven in the home. So the children of Israel, my ancestors, our ancestors, they had to get all the leaven out the house before they could even kill the Passover lamb. That's Exodus 23:18. Let's get that. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. Neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice. My sacrifice, what I want. With leavened bread. And you cannot let the Passover, my sacrifice, remain until in the morning. And just let me read verse 19 of Exodus 23. You keep leaving the door open. The first of the first fruits. The first of the first fruit of thy land, thou shalt bring into the house of Ahiah thy God. I told you, all the firstborn males in the earth that's born under a man and a woman, being husband and wife, belong to Ahiah. All the firstborn animals that's born in Jerusalem, not on this side of the earth now. It can only be where he placed his name. And the only place the God of Israel ever placed his name is in Jerusalem. He don't want no animals over here. He don't want no animals over here. No. You cannot keep the law when you're in captivity. Because the government, the ones that is up over the law of this land, they're going to tell you got to inject your animals with some kind of vaccination. In order for you to have your animals, you got to vaccinate them. You got to do this to them. You got to do that to them. You got to mock your animals. All kind of madness that the governments tell you that you got to do. So no, the God of Israel don't want nothing on this side of the earth. He only want what we gonna give him and what he tell us that he want us to give him when we get back to Jerusalem. When we get back to our own land, he's gonna restore the Leviticus priesthood. He's going to restore all our cattle. He's going to restore everything. No, he don't want them polluted animals over here. You got to give them vaccinations and all kind of madness just to move your animals somewhere. You got to vaccinate them. You got to do this to them. No, they belong to the government. They don't belong to the God of Israel because the government would never, ever tell the God of Israel what to do with his animals. That's why the children of Israel have to be in their own land, and they have to have their own government. And that's what we had. We had our own government. We had our own judges. We had our own lawyers. We had our own everything. Wasn't nobody controlling us but the God of Israel when we was in Canaan, which is Jerusalem. So no, Hebrew Israelites, you cannot keep the Passover on this side of the earth. Because the government got something to say about how you do the animals, what you do with the animals, and how you... No, the God is, ain't nobody going to ever control the God of Israel firstborn out. They belong to him. All the firstborns belong to him. So no, He don't want your goats over here. He don't want your cows over here. He don't want your lambs over here. He don't want none of it over here. Your fruit trees, none of that over here in this Egypt. Modern day Egypt we living in. Slavery. We got to go back to the wilderness. We got to go back to Zion. We got to go back to Jerusalem to be restored back to our God and back to the Hebrew nation, or as the Hebrew nation, because that's who we are. We are the Hebrew nation. As long as the government controlling us and telling us what we can't do and how we got to do and what we got to do, the God of Israel don't want nothing from us over here. We got to go back to our own land, people, to our own God. As long as you over here in this side of the world, you serving all kind of gods. So everything is making sense to me now. Everything is starting to make sense to me. It's a light bulb have came on in my mind. The Holy Spirit have enlightened my mind. Because when I first started listening to Hebrew Israelites, they had me thinking I could keep Passover over here. I could keep the holy days over here. And they had me thinking all of that stuff. But you cannot, because you have to have sacred objects to serve the God of Israel. When it comes to his Passover, you have to have sacred spoons, sacred bowls, sacred this, sacred that. The lamb has to be sanctified and is sacred. What scripture is that? That the children of Israel, when they was in Babylon in slavery, captivity, they kept holy days. There's no scripture for that. What scripture is that when the children of Israel, our fathers, our ancestors, when they was in captivity in Persia, they kept holy days? That's not a scripture for that. The only scripture you're going to see, people, that the children of Israel kept holy days is when they was in Jerusalem. There's not one scripture that the Hebrew Israelite elders can come with to show me that the children of Israel kept holy days and offered the God of Israel a sacrifice when they was in captivity. We are in captivity up under the Gentiles. We must be free first, like he freed us out of Egypt, ancient Egypt. He's going to free us out of modern day Egypt. And then, only then, will we be able to offer him a perfect sacrifice the way he want it to be offered to him. Exodus 24:25 for law number 469. I don't know what happened there, people. Next law. Law number 470. Not to leave the part of the Passover lamb that should be burnt on the altar until the morning, when it was no longer be fit to be burnt. So you cannot burn the Passover lamb on no barbecue grill. Hebrews. G-O-C-C, I-U-P, I-U-E, y'all cannot do it. You cannot do that. Stop defiling yourselves and your children. Stop cursing yourselves and your children. You cannot put it on no barbecue grill. Why would you even want to put the Passover lamb for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all gods, on a barbecue grill that you've been cooking all kinds of defiled meat on it, chicken on it, pork chops or whatever you've been cooking on it, hamburgers, and you want to take the Passover lamb for the God of Israel, Ahiah, and put it on a barbecue grill that is defiled? You cannot do that. So stop it, people. Stop it. Stop it, because you're not serving the God of Israel. You're serving your own selves. He don't receive your offering. He don't receive your sacrifice because it is polluted. Exodus 23:18. I just read that. You must put it on an altar. And the priest, you must have a priest. You must have a priest. The Haitians, they are the priests in the earth. You must have the priest, and you must be in Jerusalem. And you must have an altar that the God of Israel wants, sacrifice, to put his Passover lamb there. In the New Testament, the Son of God, he told Peter and his disciples to go prepare the Passover meal. They had to prepare up under the law, the same way the Torah told them to do it. Because the Son of God kept the law to the T, to letter, precept to precept. They kept the law, people. They was in Jerusalem. They wasn't in Russia and China and Mexico and Brazil and Detroit, Michigan and Las Vegas and Florida and Georgia, Philadelphia, New York. No, they was in Jerusalem. Scripture is that the children of Israel kept it anywhere but Jerusalem. It's not one scripture in the Bible. Law number 471, I'm going to take it all the way to 470. See, I got a little time. I got just some few scriptures. I'm going to try to take it all the way to 481. Law number 470. Not to leave the part of the Passover lamb that should be burnt on the altar. We read that. 471. Not to go up to the sanctuary for the festival without bringing an offering. Exodus 23:15. Let's get that. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, and as I command thee in the time appointed of the month of Abib, the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. None shall appear before me empty. None. You don't want no money. You don't want no $5,000 check. You don't want no $100 check. You don't want no money. You must keep it the way I command you, Israel. There's no other way you can keep it but the way I command you. Next law. Don't come to me empty. Don't come to me empty. You must have a sacrifice, people. He is a God. He's the only true and living God. There's no other God in this earth besides Satan. He's the God of this world. And that's because the God of Israel made him a God when he hurled him to the earth. For all you wicked and evil, abominable people that want to go against the Torah, that want to go against the law, that want to go against the God of Israel and do it your way, that's why he created Satan, the God of this world, so you'll have somewhere to spend eternity. And you'll have a God over you in eternity. Because you won't be going with him. You won't be going with the God of Israel. Believe me. You're going to hell, people. You are going to hell. If you don't do it his way and you don't follow the God of Israel, there's no other place you can go but to hell. So that's why he made Satan a god, so he can be over the people that he going to send to hell for not obeying him and doing what he say do. Your government. Your government ain't nobody. The God of Israel, the creator, he the one put the government here. He gave them breath in their body to live. You think the God of Israel told you to obey the law of the land? No. No, he would never tell you that. He told you to obey his law. Law number 472. To bring the first fruits of the sanctuary. Exodus 23:19. Let's go to that. Let's read verse 16. Exodus 23. And the feast of harvest. The first fruits of thy labors. When you get to Canaan, children of Israel, the first fruit trees which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of in gathering, which is at the end of the year, thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. The Hebrew Israelite, G-O-C-C and all of them, call themselves keeping the feast of in gathering. You can't keep that feast. You can't keep that feast because you haven't gathered in all your labor. You haven't harvested your fruit trees. What you sow in the field, you're supposed to harvest it. And give the God of Israel a tenth. You're not in your own land. You cannot do it. You're not in Egypt. I mean, I'm sorry. You are in Egypt. You're not in Jerusalem. You can't keep it. All you can do while you in slavery, all you can do while you in captivity, all you can do is pray to the God of Israel three times a day towards the east. The same thing Daniel did when he was in captivity. The same thing Esther did when she was in captivity. She fasted and prayed, the children of Israel. You didn't see them keeping no holy days and having no church service and having no church and ministries and all. You didn't see none of that. All they did was pray and fast. That's all they was allowed to do. Because they knew they couldn't keep no holy days because they wasn't in Jerusalem. They knew that they couldn't offer the God of Israel a perfect sacrifice like a lamb or a goat or a cow because they was not in Jerusalem. They was in slavery, just like we are right now today. Somebody else ruling us, not the God of Israel. You got the government in control right now. So, yeah, Daniel and the lions then. What did Daniel do? He prayed. So, no, people, there's no scripture for what you are doing. Having church service and churches and ministries and holy days, Hebrew Israelites, and there is keeping tithes. There's no scripture for tithes. Money. There's no scripture for that. The only thing we can do is pray that our kingdom come and observe the law and acknowledge the law and acknowledge the God of Israel and the laws that we can do, like don't round the corners of your head, cutting off all your hair. You can do that, man. The law said there should not be a whore of the daughters of Israel. You can do that, sister. You can't be no whore. Walking around here half naked, showing your ass. It's not the Sabbath day. Showing your ass. Getting booty shots and all that stuff. No. He said there should not be a whore of the daughters of Israel. You can do that. You can keep that law. He tell a man not to masturbate and waste semen on the ground. You can keep that law. You can do that, man. Stop masturbating and stop jacking off, playing with your own dick. I told you I'm not religious. Playing with your own dick. When the God of Israel told you to get a wife, you can keep that law. So there is laws up in the Bible, in the Torah, under the covenant that we can keep even though we are in captivity, in slavery. It tells you that a woman, when she on a menstrual period, she must be put away. She's not allowed to sleep with her husband and all that. She got to go in a different room. You can keep that law. Can we keep the law where every firstborn male be circumcised? No, because if you have your baby up in the hospital, they're going to circumcise your baby when he's born. When he's born, they circumcise the penis. So, no, you can't keep that law. Again, people, we are up under Pharaoh. We are up under the government control of the law of the laws of this land. We can only do the laws that we can do that's acceptable in the God of Israel eyes that we can do. It's like you don't practice usury. That's a law found in the cup. Don't practice usury. Don't let nobody use interest on you. Don't go to no banks taking loans out. Let somebody charge you interest. You can do that law. You can do that law. It's plenty laws that we can do. But the ones that's dealing with the offering and the sacrifice and the holy days, without the priest, we don't have no priest. The laws for the priest, we cannot do those because we don't have no priest. Judah, you'll never be a priest, black man. White man, Edomites, you'll never be the priest to the God of Israel. So there's laws we can do and there's laws we can't do while we in captivity. Do not eat pork, that law. Do not eat shrimp. You can keep that law. So the ones that we can keep, those are the ones that the God of Israel expects us to keep. Those are the ones he expects us to keep. the ones that we can keep. And the ones that we can't keep because we're not in Jerusalem and we don't have our priests and we don't have our own animals and our own food to give him his tithes, then we can't keep those. So the law of the land don't turn tithes into money to bring forth their religion, to bring forth their paganism, to bring forth their false gods that they set up all over the world with statues for people to pray to, bow down and burn candles to, and kiss them and call on them and all that. Next law. Law number four. Okay, I'm going all the way down to four. This is law number 472, Exodus 23:19. Let's go to that. Let's get that because I'm running out of time. I have some scriptures that I want to read and one news article. Let's go to Exodus 23:19. The first of the first fruit of thy land, see people, thou shalt bring into the house of Ahiah. Where's the house of Ahiah? In Jerusalem, Zion, the holy mountain, the city of David. It's the house of Ahiah. There's no other house that he ever wanted, Bishop. There's no other house that he ever wanted, Apostle. There's no other house that he ever wanted. His house is in Jerusalem. And right now, it's not in a house there because it got tore down. It got tore down. And that's why the God of Israel, it's a script in the Bible that say we're worse than our ancestors because Esther and Daniel and all of them that was in captivity, they didn't try to keep the holy days and all of that when they was in slavery. The God of Israel sacrificed. Because they was in the land of their enemies, the land of their captivity. They was in the land of the Gentiles, just like we are today. So we worse than our ancestors because we want to build church houses all over everywhere and say, God, we serving God. We serving God. God is our Father. We making God. This is God house. No, that's not God house. That is your house, Bishop. That's your house. Ain't God house. Don't fool yourself no more. Don't fool yourselves no more, leaders. Because he already told y'all Saturday to close all those churches down. They don't belong to him. So it say, the first of thy first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of Ahiah, thy God. Thou shalt not see a kid in his mother's milk. The children of Israel was not allowed to take the goats and the lambs and the cows that were still sucked on the milk of their mother. You have to wait till they are finished. And then you set them aside and do whatever, you know, the Torah or the God of Israel tell you to do with them. Next law. Law number 473. That the flesh of a sin offering and guilt offering shall be eaten. Exodus 29:33. Let's get that. Exodus 29:33. God's law versus the law of the land, 613 laws in the Bible, the sacrifice, audio 25. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. I am your host, Elisha Ba. We're going to read three more, and then I'm going to stop right there because I got to go to my scriptures. Exodus 29:33. 29:33. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them, but a stranger should not eat there because they are holy. A Gentile was not allowed to eat the Passover, the rams, the bread, whatever the God of Israel brought the children of Israel. Let's read 32 of Exodus 29. And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram, the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made to, consecrated and to sacrifice them. But a stranger should not eat there because they are holy. So only Aaron and the priests could eat the sacrifice and the holy things that were presented to the God of Israel. Could nobody else eat it? Next law, law number 474, that one not of the seed of Aaron should not eat the flesh of thy holy sacrifice. We read that. Law number 475, to observe the procedure of the burnt offering. Leviticus 1:3. Let's get that. And I'm going to stop right there, people. And we're going to pick it up right here next week at law number 476. 476 next week. And if I have time after I finish reading the scriptures that I have, we'll come back and finish. Last law for today, 475, to observe the procedure of the burnt offering. Leviticus 1:3. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation for a hire. It must be herd, and it must be a male without blemish. Perfect, perfect, perfect animal sacrifice that the God of Israel, a hire, wanted the children of Israel to give him. And they must give it to him willingly. Willingly, not no force. Like your Bishop T.D. Jakes and all your bishops and elders and pastors, they tell you, people, if you don't get no tithes, you're going to go to hell, and they're going to dismember you from the church. And madness, people. All that stuff is absolutely madness. So with that, now I'm going to go to my scriptures. And the reason I believe, too, I hear this, that the God of Israel want me to establish the law, because the remnant, the 10% that's going to make it out of the New World Order, we already in the New World Order, is rapidly, 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 rapidly approaching on us. To begin the apprehension, the apprehension, okay? The apprehension meaning that the takedown of the children of Israel and the Gentiles. Everything moving so very fast, people, so very fast. But I hear this, I hear this, I hear this, that the remnant need to know and understand that they must keep the law, and they must keep the covenant of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Hebrews. So this is why the law must be established for the remnant, so they can walk away from everything that they're doing that is not of the God of Israel. This is the only way they're going to know. I don't know how the God of Israel going to get it out there to them, because this is a very this platform here is, you know, it's not like 1,000 people, 100 people come here and listen to this one broadcast I'm making. But he have a way. He have a way. He going to do it. I don't know how. I know that what I am doing on this platform is for the remnant. And it's for you sinners, you people that don't believe in the covenant, that don't believe in the law, and don't and believe that the law is done away with and you don't have to keep it. You are under grace in the New Testament. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. So he wants you sinners to know and understand that you put your own selves in hell. You put your own selves in hell. That's why he wants me to establish the law so you'll know. You'll know and understand what got you there in hell when you get there. When you get there. Another word of wisdom. Because you don't have nobody teaching you that the law is good and the law outside of the Hebrew Israelites. And they don't even teach the law. They only teach little portions of the law that they doctrine tell them to keep and to follow. They don't really keep and teach the law to the people. But you have to know that it is a place called hell. And if you don't follow the God of Israel, you're going there. You are going there. Okay? And this came to me, people. When I got shot in my face and I died on my living room floor, this came to me the other day, I think 2 days ago. It could have been yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I was, you know, I died and, you know, my spirit left my soul. It wasn't my spirit because the spirit to the God of Israel. My soul left my body. The soul is what lives for eternity. You can't kill the soul. My soul left my body and I went floating through a very, very dark tunnel. Very, very dark. It was so dark, I couldn't even see my eyeballs. I couldn't see my hands. I couldn't see nothing. Pitch. The most darkest thing that I ever seen in life. I was in my 20s. I was like 21, 22 years old, very young. The most darkest thing I ever seen. I was flowed through the tunnel, scared to death, terrified, wondering where I'm going to end up at, praying as I go for God to have mercy on me. And when I came out the tunnel, I had on a long white robe, dazzling and shining all the way down to my feet, I seen my feet. It was right at my feet. I looked down at my feet. They was glowing. My hands was glowing. Everything was glowing. And I looked up and I saw paradise. Nothing but flowers. So beautiful flowers. I can't even describe the flowers I saw. I felt so much love, so much peace, so much everything that I never, ever felt in my life before. And this big, bright light appeared. Big, 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 bright, beautiful light. Beautiful. And the light began to talk to me. The voice came out of the light, which it was the God of Israel. And he said to me, you must go back. It's not your time. No, that's not the first thing he said. It's been a long time now. The first thing he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what he said. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You must go back. It is not your time. And I was standing there talking to him, like, well, why do I need to go back? I want to stay here with you. What I want to go back there for? It's miserable. It's miserable living back there on that earth. Please, don't send me back. Please, I don't want to go back there. I can remember everybody and everything I ever did in my life. He said, no, before you come here, there's something you got to do before you come here. Like saying to myself, what is it that I got to do? You know, I want to stay here. He said, it's something you got to do. You cannot come here. You must go back. You must go back. I said, no, I don't want to. And I tried to step my little feet over the rope over here. You're going to surely die. And the other day, I believe it yesterday, I was sitting at my kitchen table. And he spoke to me and he said, remember when you died on your living room floor? You got shot and you died on your living room floor. And you came to me and I talked to you. And I told you that there's something that you have to do before you come here. And if you try to step over the rope, you will surely die. Because he said, where you are standing is holy ground. And if you step over that rope, you will surely die. So I couldn't step over. I tried to. I lift my feet to step over. He said, you will surely die. And yesterday he said, you remember that? I said, yeah, I remember. He said, if you would have stepped over that rope, you would have died and went to hell. That's why I told you, if you step over the rope, you will surely die, meaning that you would have died and went to, I was already dead. Well, I don't know if I was dead. I think it was like something he was showing me. I was in the spiritual world. I say that. He said, if you would have stepped over that rope, you would have died and you would have went to hell. So that's why I told you not to step over the rope. Because if you step over it, you was going to die and you was going to go to hell. So, yeah, people, hell is real. Just wanted to give you that little testimony there. We're going to pick it up Saturday. We're going to pick it up, law number 476. We're going to go into the scriptures right now. Let's go to Exodus 5, verse 3. Exodus 5, 3. Still teaching you about sacrifices and offerings. Exodus 5:3. Let's pick it up at verse 2. Pick it up at verse 1. Exodus 5:1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the higher God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is Ahiah that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not Ahiah, neither will I let Israel go. And this is what the governments are saying right now. I don't know that God. I don't know the God. My God is Satan. My God is Lucifer. I'm not going to let Israel go. It's time for us to hold a feast to our God in the wilderness remnant. Time for us to be free. I told y'all that last week. We've been in slavery 400 years. The prophecy is complete now that he told Abraham. It's time for us to go home, back to Jerusalem. So it's going to be a confrontation with the God of Israel and with the pharaohs all over the earth that have the children of Israel in slavery right now. It's going to be a confrontation, just like it was in ancient times. Now, speaking to you prophetically, it's going to be the same thing all over again because they refuse to let Israel go, just like Pharaoh said right here in Exodus 5. And Pharaoh said, who is a higher that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not a higher, neither will I let Israel go. And that's why you have a new world order right now, because they don't want to let Israel go. It's all about the 12 tribes. It's all about our big brother Esau keeping rulership over us in this earth. Verse 3. Verse 3, and that's why they're censoring everything now. Everything is a censor. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can't do that. Everything is on a censorship now. Things you say, you go to jail for saying stuff. All kind of madness they got now. Verse 3 of Exodus 5. And they said, the God of the Hebrews. See, that's who he is, the one that wrote the Torah, the one that made the covenant with the children of Israel when they left Egypt. That's who he is. Moses told Pharaoh, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Hebrews with an S on it. That means it's 12 tribes. 12 tribes that make up one nation, the Hebrew nation. So no, I'm gonna tell you that later. The God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go. We pray thee 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto a higher our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Do not we have pestilence, COVID-19, and all kind of AIDS and all kind of diseases and all kind of sickness and all kind of stuff in this earth on the children of Israel, in the Gentiles? But we're dealing with Israel right now. He said, you know what, Pharaoh? Let us go in the desert and sacrifice unto a higher our God. And the word sacrifice in the Hebrew is Hebrew number 2076. That's why I tell you, it's not tithes. It's not shaking, rolling over, shaking together, shall men give to your bosom. It's not that. That's an injection. That's some kind of injection to go along with the Christian church doctrine and belief and bring forth their tithing, tithes as money. But sacrifice is Hebrew number 2076, to slaughter an animal. See, that's what the God of Israel want. He want animals. Perfect animals without no blemish. The first born males of the animals that he wants, not the animals that you want to give him. To slaughter an animal, usually in sacrifice, kill, do sacrifice, slay. So Pharaoh said, no, we're not going to let the children of Israel go. I don't know the God of the Hebrews. Why should I obey him and let Israel go? But look what Moses said. We got to go. It's time for us to go. And that's why the God of Israel going to raise up prophets. He's going to raise up prophets of the house of Israel. Israel is not dead. They still alive. He's going to raise up prophets of the house of Israel, not you Gentiles. You cannot be a prophet for the God of Israel. It must be a Hebrew. Only a Hebrew can be the prophet of the God of Israel. Not no Gentile, okay? There's no scripture for that. So Moses said, if you don't let us go, Pharaoh, and sacrifice unto our God. Plagues, pet, it said, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. He took Egypt down with all kind of plagues. He killed every firstborn cattle, every firstborn male in Egypt. All these pestilences right here. Pestilence for Exodus 5:3 is Hebrew number 1, 6, 9, 8 in the sense of destroying. A pestilence, moran, pestilence, plague. And if you do the research and pull that word all the way out, you're going to come up with pneumonia, where you can't breathe and, you know, it's hard for you to breathe and you can't catch your breath. And, you know, the children of Israel, you know, they died, a lot of them died in the wilderness. And they couldn't breathe, just like people can't breathe today with COVID-19. So he said, you know what, Pharaoh, if you don't let us go, all kind of plagues and pestilence and death is going to come in your land. What's going on in modern day Babylon right now? Nothing but disease, nothing but plagues, nothing but destruction, nothing but death, a lot of death. Kids dying. Whole families dying from COVID-19. I read in the news today over there in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a husband and a wife fully vaccinated now. Both of them was vaccinated. They died 1 minute apart in the hospital holding hands with COVID-19. Fully vaccinated. Okay, pestilence, death, and plagues will take you down, Pharaoh. Okay, people, you in modern day Egypt, slavery. That's why you got all these plagues and disease and all kind of stuff going on. Number one, because you people serving other gods and you won't keep the law and you won't keep the Torah and you won't do what the God of Israel say. Number two, Egypt is under judgment from the God of Israel. Number one, they refuse to let Israel go. It's time for us to go. Our 400 years is up. It's time for us to go. And they don't want to let us go. They're going to come with the New World Order and all of that stuff. All of that stuff they're going to come up with, people. You don't do what they tell you to do and what they say do, then you're going to have consequences from them. But the God of Israel, he's going to bring forth the pestilence. He's going to bring forth the sword. He's going to bring forth the disease. He's going to bring forth the same thing he brought forth in ancient times and more. Why? Because they refuse to let his remnant go. He's not worried about the 90. Y'all can have them. The God of Israel already said, you can have them. They belong to Satan. They belong to you. But my remnant, you're going to let them go, Pharaoh. See, in ancient time, it was all the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Modern day Egypt is just going to be a remnant, 10%. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto their birds, okay? So that was a word of knowledge for you, a word of knowledge where we are at in the prophet right now. It's a prophetic event that's going on. And me as the prophet of the God of Israel, I'm letting you know where we are in the prophetic. Egypt got to let the remnant go. Next Bible verse or precept. Exodus 5 verse 8. Let's get it. Go down. Exodus 5 verse 8. Let's see how much time I have. I don't hear nothing. Okay. Still doing good, people. Let's go. Exodus 5 8. Exodus 5 8, people. Look at here. And the tale, let's go up to Exodus 5, 7. You shall no more give the people straw. Look what Pharaoh told the taskmasters, the bosses of your corporations. Mm-hmm. That's exactly who they is. The bosses of your corporations, the taskmasters. You shall no more give the people straw to make bread, to four. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make here to four, you shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cried, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. The remnant are beginning to cry now. The remnant, the 10%, is starting to realize that the religions that they've been following for 10, 20, 50 years, it's not working. The remnant are starting to see that Bishop T.D. Jakes and Juanita Vine and Crapto Dollar, George Myers, Benny Hinn, Paula White, none of them can help them. The remnant, their eyes are beginning to open. They starting to see that they slave jobs that they've been working all their life haven't got them nowhere but a paycheck. $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 in the bank. They starting to cry right now. The remnant, I'm speaking to you prophetic people, the remnant are starting to cry and see right now that the gods that they've been calling on, Jesus, Yah, Jah, Jesus, Allah, and all them gods that they've been, Buddha and all of, they're all them gods they've been called, Ceramesis, Maria, Guadalupe, they starting to see that all them gods that they've been calling on don't have no power. Don't have no power, and they cannot help them at all. They starting to see that, and they starting to cry. So the God of Israel, Ahayah is his name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is beginning to hear the cry of the children of Israel again, like he did in ancient times when they was in Egypt. He's beginning to hear they cry, the remnant. And that's why you see judgment on Egypt. Egypt is all over the earth. Everywhere you see a slave, that's Egypt. Everywhere, every country that you see people working for $5 an hour, $10 an hour, $12 an hour, $20 an hour, working 8 hours a week, 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, getting a paycheck, $500 a week, $300, that's I'm in overtime, people. That's Egypt. That is Egypt. You want to know where Egypt is in modern times, I'll tell you where it is. All over the earth. Slave wedges for their God, Pharaoh. Pharaohs with an S. But the children of Israel is starting to cry, the remnant. And the God of Israel is bringing judgment. Y'all better listen to me, people. Y'all better listen to what I am saying because I'm speaking prophetic. Everything I'm saying, I'm hearing right now. He's bringing judgment on Egypt right now. That's why they can't figure out how to stop the COVID and all of that. And they all got on masks, the governments, the mayors, and everybody masked up, the president. They all got on masks. But in the midst of all of that that's going on, they're going to bring forth the new world order. Because if y'all want, if believe it or not, the new world order is a weapon. Again, I'm speaking prophetic, the God of Israel, Higher, the God of the Hebrew nation, the same God that Moses told Pharaoh to let his people go, that they may serve him in the wilderness. That God is talking to me right now. That God is talking to me right now. Okay? The judgment. That like I said, the new world order is a weapon that the God of Israel going to use. Let me say it again. It is a weapon. I could take you from scripture in the Bible to show you that he said he's going to kill a lot of people. I didn't say I was going to kill the God of Israel, Ahiah, the God of all gods, the creator. It's scripture after scripture that says that. For your wickedness, for your disobedience, Hebrews, Gentiles. So the new world order is a weapon that he's going to use with the governments, the pharaohs. Pull down. You 90% that don't want to do what the God of Israel say, don't want to follow him, don't want to keep his law. You want to continue to walk in your own way and your own will and do what you want to do. He's going to use the new world order as a weapon. So ain't no need you crying when they knock on your door and say, come with us. Ain't no need you crying because the God of Israel won't respond to you. He will not respond to you. He only going to respond to the remnant, the 10%, the ones that want to be with him and do what he tells them to do, and that's to keep his law. Next precept, Exodus 8:25. Let's go, people. I think I have time to cover this. Exodus 8:25. That's prophetic, people. So you could cry to Bishop Jakes or Bishop Willie, Bishop Sam. You could cry to whoever you want to cry. They're going to take Bishop Sam, Bishop Joe, Pastor Billy, and all of them. Going to be lined up, line after line, after line, after line, after line. Celia, could you look out for them on the front porch? Excuse me, people. Exodus 8:25. Won't nobody be able to help you, people? He only going to respond to the cry of the remnant. 8:25. Exodus 8:25. You still got time, people. You still have time, Bishop. You still have time, Pastor. You still have time, Elder. You still have time, Apostle Evangelist, to walk away and close all the ministries down and all them churches down. Close them down and seek the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Bible. Go back over the Torah. Go back over it. Go back through it and look at all the stuff that you have been taught against the law. And begin to amend your ways and begin to confess your sins and begin to confess your faults before the God of Israel and tell him you are sorry for going against him for the law of the land and going against him for religion and going against him for another God that's not biblical, that's not in the Bible. You have time, Hebrews, to repent. But the time is getting very slim. Because as I told you, they're wrapping it up. And the God of Israel, he's behind them. He's behind the New World Order to wrap it up. Because he's ready to deal with the wicked. He's ready to deal with the rebellious. He's ready to deal with you cold-hearted, stubborn heart, stiff-necked people. 25:26. No, Exodus 8:25. Come on, let me get there. And Pharaoh called, Exodus 8:25. So you can walk around cute all you want, but I'm letting you know in the prophetic what's about to hit this earth. It's deep, people. It's deep what's about to go on. It's so deep that your mind and your eyes ain't going to believe what's happening. That's how deep it is. But that's how deep y'all have been against the God of Israel. So he got to make it deep because y'all some deep people. Y'all some deep people that refuse. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptian to Ahia. Our God, lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? No, Pharaoh. We cannot sacrifice in Egypt to our God Ahia. We must go to the wilderness. We cannot offer the God of Israel nothing in Egypt. You must let us go so we can go serve our God, so we can go sacrifice in the wilderness. If we sacrifice in Egypt to the God of Israel, it will be an abomination. It is an abomination. That's why, people. That's why. That is why we must go back to Jerusalem. Because there is absolutely nothing you can give the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a higher in Egypt. Absolutely no sacrifice that you can give him in Egypt. He don't want it. You in slavery. You in bondage. You got to be free first. He got to free you first in order for you to bring him a perfect sacrifice. You cannot give him no sacrifice in Egypt. Because all the cattle in Egypt is defiled. All the cattle in Egypt is polluted. All the fruit trees in Egypt is polluted. I'm talking about modern day Egypt, all over the earth. All the corn, all the grain, all the wine, all everything that the God of Israel asked as a sacrifice in Egypt is polluted, and it is an abomination to the God of Israel. No, we must leave Egypt and go back to the wilderness, which is where we was in ancient times. We're going right back to that same exact place. When we left Egypt, we walked through the Red Sea, the remnant, we're going back to that same exact place. No, the God of Israel don't want nothing that you people are giving him in Egypt. So close your churches down. He already told you that. Close all your churches, all your buildings, because guess what? I hate your religions. That's what he told you the other day. He hate all your religions. He hate all your ministries. He hate all your offerings. He hate all your worship. He hate all the stuff that y'all people are doing because you in Egypt. He don't receive it. You are in Egypt. You serving all the gods of Egypt with different names. Next precept. Revelation 3:9. Let's get that New Testament for sacrifice. Kill a animal is sacrifice. You cannot get a God of Israel no animals in Egypt. Revelation 3:9, people. Come on. Come on. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing my job. I'm doing my work. I'm doing what the God of Israel preserved my life when I was 21 years old and got shot in my face and died and went and talked to him. He said, no, you can't come here. Go back. It's something. I'm doing what he wanted, what he preserved my life to do right now. Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them, my God, higher. Ooh, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, Israel. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. Who is this that he's talking about? He's talking about them Israelis over there, fake Jerusalem over there. And he also talking about you Gentiles all over the earth that say that y'all are spiritual Israel. So if y'all saying that y'all are spiritual Israel, all you church folks, that's a doctrine that you've been taught by the lawless land, that you spiritual Israel, Israel dead. All of y'all people right here in Revelation 3:9, he's saying, you say that you are a Jew, because if you say you are spiritual Israel, you're really saying that you are Hebrews and you are Jews. That's what you're saying. But it say right here in Revelation 3:9, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. That's why he told you the Saturday to close all your churches and ministry. Because all your ministries are the synagogue of Satan. Satan rule every last one of your ministries, because you say you are Jews and you are not. You are not. But you do lie. But you do teach false doctrine, Bishop. But you do teach false doctrine, Pastor. You are lying. You saying you spiritual Israel. Israel dead. They don't exist. They done away with. We the new Hebrews. We the new Jews. We the new Israel. You are the synagogue of Satan. And them Israelis over there with them long beards, they white folks. But look what he's saying right here in Revelation 3:9. You are not Jews. You do lie. Behold, I will make them. So all the people that saying, all them churches and all them ministries that's been taught that they spiritual Israel and Israel dead, the God of Israel say, I'm going to make and worship before thy feet. And they going to know that I love thee. Who do he love right now? The remnant, the 10% that's going to make it out the new world order. All you people that say that y'all are Jews and are not, you're going to worship the remnant. You're going to bow before our feet. You're going to bow before our feet. And the God of Israel is going to show you who he loves. Because you think the God of Israel love you. He don't love you. He hates your ministry. Your ministries are the synagogue of Satan. You are a liar. You are not the children of Israel. You are not the Hebrews. You are not the Jews. You're going to worship my remnant. You're going to bow before their feet. And you're going to know who I love. The law done away with. We ain't got to keep no law. We believe in the Talmud and all that stuff, Kabbalah and all that. You're going to worship the remnant, and you're going to bow at their feet, and you're going to know that I, Ahaya, the God of Jacob, love them. And that's prophetic. That is prophetic. Because it's more than them Israelis over there in the fake Israel. Them Edomites, Esau children, our big brother, saying they Jews and all that. They Levite. Levite ain't never been white. And he never will be white. Talking about they Levite, they went back over there in 1945, 49, and the land was, no. You are a liar. You are the synagogues of Satan. All your ministries, spiritual Israel. Oh, man, y'all boast about that. All y'all ministries, all y'all church. Oh, yeah, Israel dead. They dead. They done away with. You're going to worship my remnant. And that's prophetic. So I just got a new revelation about that. I was taught that it was just the Israelis, the fake Jews that's saying over there in Israel. But it's deeper than that, this scripture. This scripture is deeper than that. It's also talking about the Christian church. It's also talking about the Christian church. They say that they are the new Jews. Israel dead and done away. So it's not only talking about the Israelis. Is also talking about you Gentiles in the Christian church that say y'all the new Israel. Get that. Next precept, Jeremiah 46:10. Jeremiah 40, yeah. So the new world order come to deal with all of that. Deal with all you people. All y'all liars. Synagogue of Satan. The Christian church is the synagogue of Satan. All your churches, all your ministries are the synagogue of Satan. It say here, Christian church. Look what it say for synagogue in Revelation 3:9. It's Greek number 4864. An assembly of persons, especially a Jewish synagogue, the meeting of the place by analog, a Christian church. That's the synagogue of Satan. Where them rabbis, them, they meet up and all of that. This is what Revelation 3:9 talking about. And then it say the Christian church, synagogue of Satan. Go do the precept. Look it up in Revelation 3:9. Look up the Greek number for synagogue, 4864. It say Christian church, Jewish synagogue. That's what Revelation 3:9 is talking about. Christians, y'all are the synagogue of Satan. Close them buildings down. I already told you Saturday, if you want to live. Next precept. That's what the God of Israel told me to tell y'all. Close them down if you want to live. Thus said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, higher is my name. Next precept, Jeremiah 46:10. I got about three more after that and I'm finished. Jeremiah 46:10. Y'all didn't know that the Greek number for synagogue of Satan is talking about the Christian church. Y'all didn't know that, huh? Wow. How deep is that? A lot of things y'all don't know. Jeremiah 46:10. Satan is your daddy, okay? 46:10. For this is the day of Ahiah, God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him and his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall saturate and made drunk with their blood. For a higher God of hosts have a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Back in ancient times, the north country is the northern kingdom. It was the northern kingdom. It was over there by Samaria, over there by Euphrates. He had a sacrifice. Yeah, he killed people all the time, people. Next verse, Isaiah 34:6. Isaiah, and I'm glad I know that now, because when I was a Christian and a pastor, I thought he was all love. He never hurt nobody, and he all good, and yeah, that's what I used to think. But now I know the truth. I know the real God now. I know the real God. And I'm happy. I'm so very happy that he revealed truth to me in the Holy Spirit. In the Son of God. Isaiah 34:6. Let's read verse 6. We have two more after that. Three more. Isaiah 34:6. The sword of Ahiah is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For Ahiah have a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. The land of Idumea. Do y'all know anything about that, Bishop? Where is the land of Idumea? Who is the land of Idumea? Do y'all know anything about that, Christians? The sword of Ahiah is filled with blood. Blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidney of rams. For Ahiah, God of Jacob, the God of the 12 tribes of Israel, the God of the Hebrew nation, the same God that told Pharaoh, let my people go. That God. Have a sacrifice in Bozrah. In Bozrah. A place in Edom. Hebrew number 1224. But Bozrah is say Edom. Who is Edom? Esau, Jacob's big brother. Genesis 25. Bozrah in a great slaughter. A lot of people gonna die. A lot of folks is going to lose their lives. In the land of Idumea. It's a Hebrew number 1, 2, 3 for Isaiah 34:6. Idumea is Edom. Genesis 25:25. Let me get that just to clarify to you Christians who Edom is, who the God of Israel is coming after right now with a great slaughter. In Bozrah. In the land of Edom. Genesis 25:25. Let me show you who Edom is. It says, and the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they call his name Esau. Okay, Esau, or Isavu in the Hebrew. And after that came his brother, Genesis 25:26, out in his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, Yaakov in the Hebrew. The father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Isaac, his daddy, was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. So that's who Esau is, Jacob's big brother. Red. Edom means red. So Isaiah 34:6 is a prophecy that Isaiah is prophesying to the children of Israel and letting them know this is an end time prop. What happened in ancient times? He went up in that Mount Seir. In ancient times, Esau was dwelling in the mountains. That's where he lived. Back in ancient times, he lived in Mount Seir. The God of Israel went up in there and took them down, the Romans. There was a lot of Romans and Greeks and all kind of people living up there in Mount Seir. In ancient time, modern time, let's go back to Isaiah 34:6. Let me show you who Esau is, people. Y'all don't understand what's going on around here. Isaiah verse 6. Come on, people. Let me get out of here. I'm about to run out of time. 34 verse 6. CDR, start frying my fish for me, please. Yes. I got flour, and I got salt, and I got grease. Excuse me, people. I'm getting hungry now. Isaiah 34:6, the sword of Ahiah is filled with blood and made fat. Let's go to the word Idumea right here in Isaiah 34:6. It says, Hebrew number 1, 2, 3, red. For Idumea, Red. Red. Edom, the elder twin brother of Jacob, the region Idumea, occupied by him, Edomites, Idumea, all the red people, all the rosy pink people. Those are Esau children, the Europeans. They are Esau children. And that's why you see what is going on in this earth. Because the God of Israel is going to deal with Edom. He's going to deal with Edom, Jacob, big brother. My daddy, Jacob, brother. He's going to deal with him. He's going to deal with him. Because he the one got the children of Israel all over the earth. All over the earth working for him. Next scripture, Ezekiel 44:11. Ezekiel 44:11. I have two more after that. I'm going to read the news article that I have, and I'm going to say I'll talk to you later, Remnant. Ezekiel 44:11. They shall be ministers. And my sanctuary having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house, they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. Okay? That's talking about, let me go up here and see what's going on here. And the Levites, Ezekiel 44:10, that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. See, so you had Levites that went off. They left Ohio. They started serving Baal and Ashtaroth and all the gods of Solomon, they went off on the God of Israel. And they start ministering before the children of Israel, serving idols and all kind of false gods. They went off just like they're going off right now, the Haitians. They serve Maria, Guadalupe over there in Haiti. All kind of gods, voodoo gods and all kind of gods and names they got. They going on right now today. Let me go to Hosea 4:13. One more after that. Hosea 4:13. It's deep, people. The Bible is a very, very great, great, deep, mystical book. Mystical means it's very mysterious. And very gracious with a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom and a lot of understanding if you know what you read it. Hosea 4:13. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, talking about the children of Israel, and burn incense upon the hills, on the oaks and pillars, and elms, because the shadow thereof was good. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom, your daughters shall commit adultery. That's why you got all this adultery and all these hoes out here, and prostitutes and women walking naked and all kind of stuff going on, and they husband cheating on them and all kind of stuff. Why? Because you burning incense to other gods. You serving other gods. You worshiping other gods. You calling on other gods. This is why you got all this stuff going on in the earth, because of the children of Israel wickedness and their wicked ways. Last scripture, Hosea 6:6. Hosea 6:6. Hosea 6:6, people, come on. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So that's what he told the children of Israel, because they was going off. They was going off. They started giving the God of Israel the sacrifice that they wanted to give the animals. They started preparing it the way they wanted to prepare. They started fixing it for in the way they wanted to fix it for. They didn't have no priests. They were just doing whatever they wanted to do. The kings and all of them. They was going off bad, man, real bad. And the God of Israel spoke to Hosea, the prophet, and told him, you know what? I desire mercy. I don't want your sacrifice because it's defiled. It's polluted. That's why I told you Hebrew Israelites to sit down and close the ministries down that you got. Because you can't do nothing for the God of Israel long as you are in slavery. You got to go back to Jerusalem. And the knowledge of God, I would prefer that you people get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding, know what I want, know how to please me, know what it takes to please me. I would rather that you have knowledge of me, not knowledge of your gods and what you're doing for your God, more than burnt offerings. So you can throw all your little holy days to the side, all your tithing, all your Christian churches, your money. You can throw all that stuff to the side. The God of Israel say, the only thing I need for you people to have right now is the knowledge of your God and nothing else. Know who I am. Know what I want. Know what I need for you to do. Know what I'm calling you to do. Know what you got to do to live. Know what you got to do to make it out of the new world order. Know that. I'm going to go to my news article now, people, and I'm going to be finished. That's all he wants. That's all you can give him in captivity. That's all you can give him in slavery. Knowledge. Learn the Torah. Learn the covenant. Learn the law. Begin to practice it. Practice the things in the law that you can do to the God of Israel. Because when you practice the law and do what the law say, then guess what? You will have knowledge of the God that wrote the law. So that's what he's saying to Hosea. Forget about your tithes. Forget about your sacrifice. Forget about your holy days. Forget about your worships. Forget about your gods, you call it. Forget about all of that stuff. You need knowledge of your God. And the only way you're going to find it is that you open up the Torah and read about me. And what I want, Israel. Let me read the article. This is an article that came September 22nd, 2021 at 4:54 p.m. Reuters. This is the one that wrote the article. It's a cargo ship stuck at L.A. port, a worrying sign for holiday season. You won't have no Christmas this year. You won't be able to keep your pagan holidays this year. Won't be no Christmas and all this Mother Day and all this satanic stuff that y'all do year in and year out. All your ships with all your merchandise, your Santa Claus and your Christmas trees and your light bulbs and your all of your stuff, your toys and all the stuff that y'all people do this time of year, all your food in the grocery store, all your cargo ships are stuck. They stuck. Who stuck them? Y'all haven't figured it out yet? Who stuck all your ships on the sea and they can't move right now? I told you that 8-9 months ago. Judgment is on Babylon, which is Egypt, all over the earth. You think the God of Israel just, the God of Israel had me just saying all of this stuff just to be saying it. Telling you he gonna kill millions and millions still die. Early this month, the of Los Angeles, Long Beach announced a record. Long Beach announced a record 60 container vessels. They carry all your merchandise and all your goods, people. Everything that you love and worship for your holidays, your turkey hams and your Christmas ham, your trees and, oh, your Thanksgiving and all. All is 60 container vessels, ships, were waiting offshore to upload their goods. The global supply chain and really due to overwhelming demand for cargo. Temporary COVID-19 closures of ports and factories in Asia, shortages of shipping containers, and key products like resin and computer chips and several weather transportation costs have spiked delays, exacerbating delays in fueling product shortages. No more goods. I told you, your economy is not, no, I didn't tell you nothing, the God of Israel. His name is Isaiah. He told you a whole year ago, your economy is not coming back. It doesn't matter what you people do. It doesn't matter what you people try to do. Your economy is coming back. That's what the God of all gods told me to say on this platform. And it have not came back. It's been a whole year or longer, and it's just getting worse every day. Because judgment is on the Idumeans, Saul, and its allies. Judgment from the God that put you here, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrew nation, the God of Yaakov, Jacob, in English. 60 ships right now is stuck on the port in the water. They cannot move. They cannot move. First, it was the Evergreen about 4 months ago. It was the Evergreen stuck in the canal for about a week. Now you got other ships, 60 ships stuck, can't move. What do y'all people think, man? What do you people, sick-minded people, really think? That the God of Israel gonna continue to let you with your paganism? It's finished, people. It is finished. It's over. The only thing coming up now is a new world order. Prepare. Get ready. Because that's what's going to happen. More plagues is coming. He said 7 more plagues greater than the ones that you got, Israel, for your evil. in the book of Exodus. Greater, seven more greater. You won't have no food, he say. Famine's coming, a drought. I read a news article today in Taiwan. They got a drought over there, a drought in Taiwan. It's so dry over there, people, over there in Asia. That's where it's at. It's so dry over there. They said they ain't never seen nothing like it in history. He told you in the Bible, famine, drought, plagues, the sword, all of this is going to happen to chastise his enemies, to chastise people that is against him and against his law. So I just wanted to read that little piece there. Listen here. This is another news article. See, I haven't even been in the news that much lately. Because I get tired of looking at a lot of white people in the news. You'll never see no black people. All you see is white people, white people, white people, white people. What they doing, what they doing, what they got going. I don't know. I get sick of looking at it. I want to see what my people are doing. No black people in the news, just white folks. This is another news article. One day ago, it say, last chunk of wrecked cargo ship awaits removal off of Georgia. Georgia, not the Georgia that I saw. It's over there in Korea, I think it is. Let me see. The final chunk of a cargo ship that capsized 2 years ago along the Georgia coast. Oh, that's something that happened a long time ago. But with that, people, I'm going to say I talked to y'all 7 day of the week, Saturday. God's law versus the law of the land, 613 laws in the Bible, the sacrifice, audio number 25, this Sister Radio Talk Show. We'll talk to y'all Saturday. If the God of Israel says okay. All right, remnant, straighten yourself up. Get it right. Repent. Repent, remnant. Repent while you have a chance. Come back to the God of all gods. Come back to the law. Go back over the law. Go back over to your time. Get up out of all these churches and all these ministries. Walk away from man and walk towards the God of Israel so he can help you to make it out of the new world order. Talk to y'all Saturday if the God of Israel says okay.